Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Philip Van Winkle.
In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, we continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. Peter writing, he says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." The phrase "to whom coming" is a present tense phrase. It is a continual coming. We come to the Word of God over and over again so that we can get nourishment, as we talked about last time, so that we can continue to grow. When you come to the living stone, the Christ, He nourishes you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They all tasted that rock, that stone. He is the living stone." So what was it that happened that caused these Jews to grow? They all partook of the same meat. They all partook of the same drink. And that drink was the living stone, the Christ. So when we want to grow, verse 4 says, "Coming to the living stone," we continually come to it, that word, the word of Christ, the Bible. Also, we see that Christ was the stone in the New Testament as well. Luke records for us in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17, "And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner." He also writes in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, "Ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And so we come back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious." The word "disallowed" right here comes from a word that shows that they looked at it and beheld it and studied it, but after they discussed it, they disallowed it and rejected it. These Jews saw Jesus. Now, some preachers, they sometimes preach a sermon and they say, well, it was as if these builders went out into this lot and they started looking for a cornerstone, and then they looked over here, and then they came and looked over there, and all the time they were walking around, Jesus was there, but they just missed it. But I don't agree with that, because that's not what this says. These people saw the Christ. They examined him, and they cast him out of the way. That's what Peter's words are saying. They wanted something greater than Christ. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. Surely he couldn't be the Son of God. He was raised in Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. Well, that can't be God. They wanted a white horse and a robe and a king and a throne. That's what they wanted. So they examined him, they looked him over, and then they disallowed him. They threw him aside. So verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious." God chose Christ long, long ago. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." God chose Christ before the world, and he was approved and found precious in God's eyes, and that is what is important. Chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 tells us his blood is precious, and so Peter says it here again. Now he turns and says in verse 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now there's a point made in this verse that we need to look at. This verse says there is no such thing as clergy and laity. You have clergy, that is the high up people in the church. And then you have laity, that's what we would consider the common folks in the church. No, that is not the case. There is only one class of people, and we are all priests. Peter did not say, I am a spiritual house, but ye, all of you, that's plural, ye are a holy priesthood. We are priests, and we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. You know, under the law of Moses, when a person got ready to bring a sacrifice to God, he brought that sacrifice to a certain place, and he presented that sacrifice to a priest. He had to be of the tribe of Levi, the priest did. A person couldn't just go up on his own and offer his own sacrifice. He had to bring it to the priest, and then the priest had to offer sacrifice for the people. So you had two classes of people. You had the priests, and then you'd have the common folk. Priests were the common folk's way to God. They even had a high priest. One time a year, he would go into the Holy of Holies. He offered that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, which made atonement for the sins of all the people. Now, those priests back there are not typical of the clergy. They are typical of Christians. All Christians are priests. Friend, you are as much a priest as I am. You are as much a priest as Peter or Paul was if you have obeyed the gospel. Verse 5 says, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You offer your spiritual sacrifice. We all sing praise. We all pray. We all give. We all eat the Lord's Supper. We all study God's Word together. And we are acceptable to God by Jesus. He shed His blood for us. He covered our sins. And yet, we need to realize that sinful people cannot approach God. We have to be without spot, without blemish, and we are spotless only because of the blood of Christ. He is that high priest, and He offered Himself once and for all, for you and for me. And then to verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, Isaiah the prophet writing, he says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. So Peter drew their minds back to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. And you can also go and read it in 1 Corinthians 4:11 or Romans chapter 10 verse 11. But why does it mention it so many times? Because these Jews would be the very ones who would reject him. And it was prophesied about all of these years before. See the phrase, shall not be confounded? That is, they shall not be ashamed. That's what the Greek Septuagint has. So they should not be ashamed. Look at verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now the cornerstone in that day, that was the first stone that was laid, and was the stone by which all other stones would be lined up. Remember in verse 5, it said we're living stones. Well, the church, in one sense, is not really a building, and yet in another sense, we are. We are built by living stones. We are the church. And also, we see that we're priests, as we mentioned just a moment ago. We're priests, all of us are. But in verse 7, he says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Those who believe, he is precious. To those who are disobedient, they are those who do not believe. They disallowed this stone. They examined him. They weighed him out. They checked out what he said, and they cast him aside. They said, no, we don't want a babe laying in a manger as king. We don't want some man from dirty old Nazareth to be our king. We want a white horse. We want a good-looking man. They wanted the right-looking man. See, they were interested in the outward appearance. What do we know about Jesus' outward appearance? Isaiah prophesied about the Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 1, he says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Notice, he hath no form nor comeliness, that when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." So they opposed the Christ. He wasn't what they had in mind as their king. But it says, he has been made the head of the corner, the stone by which everything else is laid. The corner, the very most important piece of all that building. It was the stone by which all the other stones are set, and Christ is that stone. Then you come to verse 8, and it says, "And a stone of stumbling." He was a stumbling stone. Well, what caused them to stumble? Well, I believe it was the resurrection. They didn't believe that he was who he said he was, but now they should have known it. And now, faced with that information, they have collided with the rock. And notice it also says in verse 8, a rock of offense. The word rock here is the word Petra. That is a large or a giant stone. Offense, that is a word scandalon. Literally, could be said a scandal. That's where we take our English word from, scandalon. But to whom was he a giant scandal or a giant offense? It says in verse 8, to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. See, Christ claimed to be God, and these people were not going to obey him. He did miracles, he lived perfectly, he went around doing good, and the people who saw that, many believed, and they obeyed. But there were many who were prejudiced against him, didn't care to believe, and to them he became a rock of offense.
We cannot reject Jesus because he is not what we thought he would be. If we do, then he will reject us on the day of judgment. Jesus is God, and his character never changes. Therefore, we must accept him as he is or reject him as he is. But know this, the stone that was once rejected has been made the head of the corner or the cornerstone. All of the church has been built based upon him. You cannot be in the church by rejecting Christ because the church is the body of Christ. And it is in this body where the promise of salvation lies.